I love the Lord. I want to honor Him. I think that starts by loving others, respecting others, seeing their needs, being empathetic, trying to put myself in their shoes. I've bought in 2 homes, and my first home was quite a struggle. So I know what buyers have to go through to try and get a home. My second home was during COVID. And wow, I couldn't believe how much they wanted me to pay off. It cost me $120,000 to get into my home. Trying to do that helped me be more empathetic towards buyers and all that they're trying to go through. When I sold my Cedar home during COVID, I really understood what sellers were going through. I was selling my house and I was buying the house. Just being in that situation helps you to have empathy. Plus, I'm a big part of my community and I see the needs that are going around in our town.
Today on Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell, I'm joined by Becky Wheeler from RE/MAX Big Bear, a Big Bear resort home and land specialist who's been in the trenches since 2001. Becky doesn't hang her hat on hype. She's built a real following the old school way, showing up consistently over time, studying the market, knowing the inventory, and putting disciplined marketing habits to work for her clients. If you believe mastery isn't a moment, it's a pattern, this conversation is for you. Let's dive in and welcome Becky Wheeler.
Hi.
I'm so glad that you're here, Becky. How are you feeling about being interviewed for your very first podcast?
I'm a little nervous. I'm not much to be on video. That's all new for me. So this is good. Yeah. It's good to break out of my shell.
I appreciate, you know, the courage, you know, and the willingness to try things, because that's really what makes our business work. When we first get into the business, we really don't know what we're in for, I think. And so anytime that you're willing to step outside of your comfort zone, the benefits by doing it are really helpful going forward. So I'm hoping that that's the case for you as well.
Yes, definitely. I can only add to my business. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
So let's dive in a little bit and talk a little bit about what it was like when you first got into the business.
Well, when I first got into the business, I actually was working 3 jobs before I decided to become a realtor. The market was good, and some friends of mine, one being Marcy Worthington, told me I should get my license. And it wasn't easy. I knew nothing about real estate. It was very challenging.
Okay. So, you know, that's interesting, is because I like to ask people the question, did you grow up thinking that you wanted to be a real estate agent when you grew up? Did you think that you wanted to be a salesperson when you grew up? Was that on the horizon at all as you were growing up?
No. My mom always had several jobs and she was a single mom. So I kind of just went wherever the money was at.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked a lot of jobs, and then real estate seemed like it would be a good, you know, thing to try.
Right.
But it was very scary because my mom didn't own a house. You know, I didn't come from money, and I had a lot of learning to do.
Yeah. Well, we have that in common. I didn't come from a whole lot of money. We never owned a home either. And real estate sales was not on my horizon as a kid growing up at all. So your friend told you that you should get your real estate license and the market was good at the time. What appealed to you about the business when you were getting into it? You said that you followed the money a little bit. You know, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I liked that I could have my own hours. At the time, I got my real estate license and my notary license when I was pregnant with my first son. And so I just thought I could have my own hours. That was the most appealing thing to me, having my own hours, because like I said, I was working 3 jobs and I was on other people's schedule. So to have my own hours and be able to take care of my kids at the same time, that was very appealing to me. And to possibly be able to pay my bills on time every month and have food on the table. Yeah.
I know what attracted me early on was, you know, the people that hired me, they were young, they were well-dressed, they were driving Cadillacs, or at least, you know, the established ones were driving Cadillacs and wearing gold watches. And so I could see the money, and it didn't look all that difficult from the outside. Was that sort of the way that you saw it as well?
That was how I saw it as well. I started as a showing agent for D Forbes, and that's pretty much as easy as it gets, just opening a door and showing people. I didn't really get the training of what I'm supposed to say to get people up. So Bev LaRocque actually taught me that. She was my next person I worked for. And yeah, they, you know, they were they were doing good. They were going on vacations, driving new car, able to buy clothes for their kids, you know? And so all of that was appealing to me, not having to work so many jobs. I tried to work a second job while I got my real estate license, but you come to find out real easily that real estate's full-time. Mm-hmm. It can't be something that you're trying to do part-time and work other jobs. You can't be successful at it that way.
I love the phrase, you know, when you're getting into real estate, there's two promises. You can have unlimited freedom and you can have unlimited income. The problem is you can't have both. So, it is especially helpful for single moms, you know, in order to have a career where they have the flexibility to take care of their children, which is a very positive thing about the business. And so I think that was one of the things that also attracted you, if I heard you correctly.
Yeah. You know, they came to work with me a lot.
Well, tell me a little bit more about what it was like to start. You mentioned a couple of names, you know, that I know from the past. Dee Forbes, which is, well, boy, that goes back 40 years for me. Bev LaRock was somebody I worked alongside of, you know, with at Coldwell Banker for quite a few years. And I think that's where I first met you when you were working with Bev. So talk a little bit about what it was. What was your day like and what was your business like when you first started?
Well, working with them, I mean, I needed to do that, even though the market was great. I knew nothing about real estate, so I couldn't just go out there and get my own listings and do things at that moment. I didn't have the confidence, and I didn't feel like I had the ability, honestly, to take care of clients. I came in selfish-minded for my own purposes, to have my own hours and to try and make money. But I quickly learned that that's not how you succeed in this business. It's all about the client. Every part of it is about the client. From how your tone is, from everything. Everything has to be about the client.
And that's sort of really the question that I want to get at is, when you got into real estate, you had expectations and then you found out it was a little bit different. And I've already heard that it's very customer centric or customer focused. You know, Can you share a little bit more about, you know, how you learned that?
Yes. Okay. So I took all these classes. You know, when you're new, you're taking all these classes. And a lot of them would tell you about your time, managing your time. Well, clients don't care about that. They want to call you when they have a problem or when they have a need. And it doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter if it's your day off. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday. And I was allowing that. And a lot of times I still do. I want to be there. I'm afraid that if I don't answer my phone, that they're going to call somebody else. So there was a time when that was kind of getting overwhelming for me. My kids were getting mad. We're eating dinner and I'm answering the phone. So I started doing what those classes were recommending, only answer the phone or only deal with clients from this time to this time and put it on your message. Oh, you're with your family. Well, I did that for a little bit and it did not work for me. Actually, they would call somebody else. That does not work for me anyway. They could leave a message, and I would call back and sometimes I'd still get the transaction and other times they've already called somebody else. So that's really the main thing is my time. I didn't realize how much time that it would take. It does take away time from my family. And they've all gotten used to that. And we traveled a little bit in the beginning. So I'd say that's basically everything how I learned that it's very client oriented. It's not about me and my family. I really have to take care of the client if I want to succeed in this business.
Yeah.
It's got to be a win-win.
It's sort of fascinating to me. The public's opinion of real estate agents and how overpaid they are and how they don't do anything. I mean, after 40 years, you know, I've heard all the things that they say about real estate agents, and most people don't have any understanding how many hats we wear and, you know, what it's like to have to do all of your job before you ever receive any income. And you can do all of the work ahead of time and then still not get paid if the transaction doesn't close. Most people would not put up with that in the real world. And yet at the same time, that's all we ever do. I mean, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it took me 3 months when I first got into the business to get my first sale.
Yeah. Well, you're an overachiever because I got my very first real estate check 6 months to the date from when I started. So you did a whole lot better on your start than I did. I'll have to tell you that. So how long did you work and sort of go through that learning process until you felt that you were moving forward and that this was actually a business that was going to work for you?
6 years. 6 years I worked under other people until I felt confident. Bevelarock was moving away. And I decided that I think now was a good time to try and do it on my own. And she taught me more than anybody had ever taught me. And we still talk today. She's my mentor. She always taught me what Tim Wood taught everybody else back then. Just one, try and get one listing, one escrow, one buyer, whatever it is. I have to get one of each category each week is what I'm trying to do. And she was very motivating. She was very consistent. Even though she may have had a bad day, she knew how to handle everything. And she didn't answer her phone if she was stressed out or having a bad day, because that tone would go through the phone. Yeah. And I learned a lot from her. And I have to still remember some of these things even now, because you tend to forget, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the byproducts of being in the real estate business or the sales business and having, you know, what ends up being a long-term career. You know, for the people that are just starting out, one of the best benefits is the relationships and what you learn from other people. I sat behind Bev LaRock for about 8 years. And so I was able to witness, you know, the way that she modeled her business, and I was able to learn. And I think that's one of the things that happens a lot in real estate, is that we learn by the modeling of the other successful people that are around us. You know, Tim Wood was a mentor for me. You're talking about Bev LaRock being a mentor for you. We learn what to do from other people. We also learn what not to do sometimes from watching and observing what other people are doing.
Yes.
I can appreciate that. So you said 6 years. You know, were there any challenges or surprises or setbacks that you encountered when you went out on your own that you weren't necessarily expecting?
Yeah. I mean, there's always setbacks, of course. The money. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mostly do listings. I graduated in Big Bear. I know a lot of people up here. So I thought being a listing agent would be the best thing through all the classes. That's what I learned too. But being a listing agent, you have to have some money. I had to have money for lock boxes. I had to have money for photos. At the time, I wasn't with Remax. And Remax is awesome, I have to say. I mean, we get our signs put up. I mean, we get our, you know, we get so many benefits here. A walkway shoveled to the door in the snow. Back then, I had to pay for my own sign guy. I had to pay for my own shoveling. I had to pay for all of my own stuff. And so it's pretty expensive. As a buyer's agent, I just had to deal with gas, really. You know, as a listing agent, it took a lot of time trying to study the market, trying to be ahead of the curve and thinking about the, you know, different seasons and when we have a selling season here. And there's just so many different things to think about. I think it really helped me grow in real estate to learn that part of it. And now I feel like I'm an expert in that field.
So like most people, when they start the business, they focus on working with buyers because they don't have the money to do the marketing and they don't have the expertise, you know, a lot of times to do that. And, you know, that makes sense to me. I mean, I started with buyers in the beginning and most people seem to do that. Did you, when you went out on your own 6 years into the business, did you immediately start working with sellers then? Or did you continue to work with buyers until you had saved up enough money to start doing the marketing?
I started with one listing and a whole bunch of buyers. Yes. Yeah, and my first one I sold was Dennis Bracken's listing on East Big Bear Boulevard. She was my first sale, and it was a great house. And I have one listing, and I asked Dennis for a lot of help during that listing. And he was so kind to me and helped me. Mm-hmm. So there were agents that actually, you know, they were so kind to help you with your first listing or your first buyer. They were very nice. And I still remember them to this day.
Yeah. Awesome. Because I've worked alongside with you and I know a little bit about the past history that you have with working with people, I know that you have a heart that is very, very in tune with the locals in the market that are not necessarily the big dollar, the high ticket, the most profitable clients necessarily to work with. Okay. And you've always given probably 1,000% with every single person that you've worked with. Can you share a little bit about where that customer service drive comes from?
Sure. Well, I love the Lord and I want to honor him. So I think that starts by loving others, respecting others, seeing their needs, being empathetic to their needs and sympathetic, trying to put myself in their shoes. I struggled. I've bought in 2 homes, and my first home was quite a struggle. So I know what buyers have to go through to try and get a home. My second home was during COVID, and wow, I couldn't believe how much they wanted me to pay off to try and get my home. It cost me $120,000 to get into my home. And, you know, just trying to do that helped me be more empathetic towards buyers and all that they're trying to go through. And when I sold my Cedar home during COVID, I really understood what sellers were going through at that point, too. I was selling my house and I was buying a house. And so just being in that situation helps you to have empathy for what sellers are going through and buyers. And plus, I'm a big part of my community and I see the needs that are going around in our town. And there are a lot of agents. I'm not, you know, there's some that only look at a dollar amount. They don't want to take on listings that are under a certain dollar amount. And I don't feel like that's an ethical thing to do, honestly. I think it's our job to do what the client wants us to do. And it doesn't matter about the price. It matters about the person. And I may not sell a whole bunch of $1 million listings, but each of those listings that I sold, there was one or two people involved. And if you look at my testimonials, those people actually take the time to leave a feedback for me. And I may not have millions of dollars, but I have millions of clients that love me. And that they're thankful for the work that I did for them. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, it's so interesting when people look at the dollar amount and they don't look at the big picture. I have a friend here in Tennessee. Her name is Callie Weeks, that I was referred to when I moved out to Tennessee. And I was referred to her by a friend of mine that lived out here. And the way that he met her was his brother had reached out and asked a question about a lot that was listed about an hour away from where this gal Callie's office was, you know, up in the mountains. It wasn't even listed for sale. It was a for sale by owner. And she followed up with my friend's brother and met them up there in the mountains to walk the property and talk with this fella about real estate. And it wasn't even a property that was listed, and it was very low dollar at the time that they were doing it. And my friend's brother never bought the lot, didn't buy anything here in Tennessee. But my friend said, you know, to his brother, you know, you need to work with her. Anybody that's willing to do what she did is worth gold. And that one decision that she made to show that lot that was an hour away from her that wasn't even listed for sale. The last time that I talked with her had moved into 16 different transactions, including mine, including two transactions with me when I moved out to Tennessee. So I think a lot of people shortchange themselves by thinking that, you know, something is beneath them from a transaction standpoint. They don't realize what it's going to end up doing for them in the long run. And it seems you've adopted that policy.
Yes. I mean, in the beginning, it was a little scary because I feel like high dollar people are going to think maybe I'm not worthy enough to sell their high dollar property because I have some low dollar things. But I take whatever people want to give me. If they want me to sell their property, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm going to sell them. If I'm qualified to do it, I'm going to sell it. So I'm not going to turn them away just to try and get the high dollar ones. Now I do have high dollar ones. And my high dollar ones have left me some fabulous feedback as well. So don't discount me on that.
So, and that perfectly brought me to a conversation that we had 3 or 4 years ago where, you know, you and I had talked to you. You had said, you know, Mark, you know, I sort of own this neighborhood, which is not the highest dollar amount, you know, transactions that's going on. And one of my competitors used that against me on a high-end listing. I don't know if you remember that conversation. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, it is difficult when you're out there competing with people and they will say, you know, say anything sometimes, and it's hurtful, but you've overcome that. And I know that because being the broker for the firm, I see what you're closing on now. So do you have any tips for anybody that wants to start working with a high-end or a more luxury type of market that is getting pushback from their competition or maybe doesn't have the confidence to move forward?
Yeah, I would say that the high-dollar listings take a little longer to sell. As a realtor, if you're doing To have a good portfolio, you should have some in every price range so that you have something selling every single month. If you're only having high dollar listings, it could take 6 months for that to sell. Of course, it could sell right away, but then you got to wait. So I think it's good to have stuff all over the board so that you can appeal to every type of buyer. In the luxury market, they're really just looking for somebody that's going to be honest with them, that's going to work hard for them, just like everybody else. There's no reason to be intimidated just because of the dollar amount, really. It's about what you're looking for, a win-win, right? The client and their needs, and making sure to listen to them. I did shadow a couple agents before I went out on my own, and I have to say I was surprised at how little they actually let their client talk. You know, it's more about them and all the things they can do. I think it doesn't matter what the price range is of the listing that you're getting. The client wants to know that they're being heard. And I think that's the most important thing with that. It doesn't matter about your experience. I think it just matters about whether you're listening to what their needs are and if you can do that.
So listening to their leads and paying attention and then helping them with what they're doing. There's another name from the past that you'll remember, Sue Packard. I remember the first time that she was doing a lakefront sale and her client asked her, you know, have you ever sold any lakefront property? And she said, no, but the only thing that's different about selling a lakefront home versus the ones that I sell up in Moon Ridge is that there's a couple of extra zeros on the contract. That's about the only thing that's different. Everything else is the same.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit to know. Like some of them, you know, the sewer is different or there's a sewer fee. You know, there's a couple different things that you need to know. But just like with any neighborhood, you do your research first. Mm-hmm. You know, if that means calling the MWD or, you know, DWP to get a little bit more information about a lakefront, then you do that.
Okay. So I want to switch. There's two questions that I have left for you. One is there any moment which was a big aha moment?
I've had a lot of memorable experiences, you know, too many to put on here. I can say that the curmudgeon type people, those are the most rewarding for some reason to me. When I get these people that nobody else seems to be able to work with, and they might even be a little abusive to me, mm-hmm. and I can sell their property and they can move on with their goals, and in the end, they're happy, that makes my job just totally worth it. I just love that.
Yeah.
It was when I started seeing all these people when somebody asked for a realtor on Facebook, and I'm getting 6 to 12 people recommending me. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting calls. That happened within like 2 or 3 years ago. And that's when I started feeling like I made it. That all of this work, I've been a realtor for 21 years. And just 2 or 3 years ago, people just started recommending me and calling me. And I didn't have to make the calls and do all the work that I was doing before. And so, yeah, it's consistency and a lot of years in the business. And some of it, I have to say, might be because some more experienced agents moved away. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, whatever the reason was, I'm thankful.
There is a pattern to what you're describing. Everyone starts new, not knowing the business. Everybody, and they end up having to work through it. And I think there's an important part of the message that you're sharing here is that you'd sort of, everybody sort of has to pay their dues and to get into the business. The saddest story that I have seen over the years is an agent that gets into the business in a runaway crazy market where it's order taker city. I mean, you come into the business and you make a sale in your first 3 or 4 weeks and you go on a run for 6 months or 12 months or 18 months where the market is a runaway market. And when the market goes back to being a normal market where not everything is handed on a platter, a lot of those people exit the business really quickly. And that's the saddest part because it's really painful when they've been successful and they can't figure out why it's not working anymore. And it's because the market turned back to being more of a realistic market. So obviously you've gone through a series of those and I've gone through a series of those as well. So share with everybody where you think your business goes next. I know that you mentioned, you know, you started the business with the birth of your first son. And I know a lot of those kids now are grown up and, you know, some of them off to college and different things. So talk a little bit about your family and how you were able to run your business and manage that family and what's on the horizon for you next.
Well, I brought my kids with me for a lot of things, looking at houses and stuff like that. When I had to show property, when I got the privilege to show property, my kids were at a friend's house or at grandma's house. So we made that work. Like I said, I did get yelled at here and there during meals or different events where I'm on my phone and I'm having to work, but that's part of the business. And, you know, that's what you got to do. I'm on the horizon for me now. My oldest son did get his real estate license. Mm-hmm. It's been my goal to start a small team, at least a buyer's agent, and I haven't done that yet. I was hoping my son was going to be doing that, but things have changed for him. And so that's part of my goal. Is I'd like to at least get a buyer's agent. I'd like to grow. I've never been on a team. So that's, I think, what's holding me back. I don't really know how to start, but I'd like to have a team. I have a lot of buyers that are slipping through the cracks. I can't accommodate everybody, and I'd like to. I'd like to travel because raising my kids, I really didn't travel. It was too expensive with four kids, and I was a single mom. So that's part of it. I'd like to give a little bit more of my business to my team. And then I wouldn't mind, you know, just mentoring a little bit. But that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm not planning on retiring or anything. I want my business to grow. I just would like to be a part of my business in a different way. Instead of being the only employee, I'd like to have some people doing the work for me.
And having you share your journey with the listeners for Time Tested Mastery. The things that I took away from our conversation today are things that I think are pretty universal about our business that I think the public needs to know. People that are new getting into the business need to know what to expect. For people that are early on in their careers that are finding out that it is a journey and not something that is such a quick fix. I mean, you know, so many people go out and they think, well, I'm going to create an app and make $1 million. Real estate is more about something that we become over years and over a career. And you're a perfect example of that and the growth that you've shared with us today that I've observed over the last 25, 30 years of working alongside of you. I really much appreciate all that you've done for the community and for your clients, and I wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, for everyone out there, this is Mark Dolan with Time Tested Mastery, where we talk about our business and the principles and the activities and the things that work that are time tested and proven. There's no hype here, no shortcuts. We're talking about creating real value for people. If you have found this episode to be helpful for you, or if you know there's somebody out there that should hear this, that needs to hear it, please share it with them. And I look forward to talking to you all again soon.